Hi, everyone, and welcome to Remaking Tomorrow, a series of conversations about the future of teaching and learning. I'm Greg Baer, here today with guest co-host Tyler Samstag, Executive Director of Remake Learning.
This is a podcast powered by Remake Learning, a network that ignites engaging and relevant learning in support of young people navigating rapid social and technological change.
And on today's episode, we're talking with Demi Edwards, co-founder and CEO of Education Reimagined, a Washington, D.C.-based network of young people, educators, and community leaders working to design a learner-centered public education system. Demi, welcome to Remaking Tomorrow.
Thank you, Greg and Tyler. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Well, we love having you here. And you and your colleagues at Education Reimagined do so much great work, and you're committed to what you call a transformational vision for education in the United States. Wow, that seems like a big idea. So tell us, what does that vision entail? What does it mean for you all at Education Reimagined?
It is a big vision, and that's part of the fun. So at Education Reimagined, we talk about learner-centered education as really the grounding vision for what we see for the future of learning. What we mean by that is not really so complicated. It means centering the child in their learning experience, centering who they are, how they learn, their community context, where they want to go, and supporting them as they navigate their unique learning journey, surrounded by educators, family, peers, community mentors, as they build community and belonging, discover their interests and gifts and contribute those to the world, and develop the skills, habits, knowledge, and social connections to get where they want to go to pursue their life aspirations.
I love that term, learner-centered, Demi. And I really appreciate how you defined it. Can you help us better understand how a learner-centered system differs from what most of us might think of when we think of learning in school?
In a more conventional system, it really is about having everyone move through a relatively standard set of subjects, curricula, and touch points, with the assumption that we know what young people need to get through, we know how they learn, and we know what they'll need to be successful in life. So let's get them through that process and set them up for that success. And a learner-centered approach flips that on its head and says, we don't know yet what this child will need, and reorients to bring all of the wealth of knowledge that educators, community mentors, and others have to support them in charting their unique course.
A lot of our listeners themselves, they're teachers, they're educators out of school, they're parents like I am, and I'm sure they're thinking like, okay, I get this, this makes sense. And one of the things that you all at Education Reimagined endeavor to do is build the field, as you describe. So tell us what that means, because you're not building a soccer field. You're not building a field of dreams. Like, what is the field that you're building, and how do you make it plain for a parent that might be sitting in Peoria?
And the concept of building the field is really helping those who have this mindset for learner-centered education know that they're not crazy, they're not alone. They're actually building the future of what public education can look like. And so our work is to seek out and connect those who are advancing this new approach to education, help them get better at it, help them learn from each other how it's done, what it looks like, and build the evidence and understanding of the impact so that families can access it, so that policymakers can understand how to make it easier to do this work. Right now, we have partners all across the country, from Tacoma Public Schools, where a trio of sister schools is co-located in the zoo, theater district, and local businesses, and supporting young people to have internships and build their skills and understanding of what they want to do with their lives as part of their public school experience. We have PAST Foundation in Columbus, Ohio, where they're a makerspace and education R&D lab that connects young people with businesses in the area and helps them build their STEM identity so that they can see themselves in a career that they might not otherwise think is accessible. We have micro schools all over the country emerging. In Miami, Florida, Verde Eco School is co-located on an urban farm where our littlest learners are learning science and technology and advocacy as they try to help support their local sea turtle population. So across these really different examples of learner-centered education, it can be hard for them to find each other. So our work is to make that easier and help them have frameworks and language so that they can talk across their really diverse models and build collaborative partnerships, improve their practice, and help enable this approach to not be on the margins, but really be seen as a possible future for public education.
Demi, I know Education Reimagined has something called the Learning Lab. And when I think of a lab like this, I picture a group of mad scientists, maybe in lab coats, dreaming and creating new ways of learning. Can you tell us what really happens in this learning lab of yours?
Yeah, I love that image. Maybe we need outfits for our learning lab. So our learning lab is that place for community that I was describing, for those who are out there pushing the limits of how education can operate to come and find home, partnership, community. So we organize it through conversations, site visits, and learning programs so that those in this field can better understand what's already happening and help it go forward.
And Education Reimagined also brings together young people, right? You're not just talking about centering learners. You're bringing the learners centered into your work through these events that you call Spark Houses. I would gather you've pulled together hundreds, if not thousands, of young people from across America together over the course of your decade of work. And I'm wondering, what are the sort of things you've been learning about bringing these young people together? And how have their ideas changed over the years about the learning environments that they want and need?
Spark House is one of the highlights of Education Reimagined's work. We gathered about 60 kids in Washington, D.C. back in 2016. And we asked them, are you interested in being part of this conversation? It is about, you know, the learning that you're experiencing. And if we're learner-centered, it's based on interest. So what do you think? It was a resounding yes. And since then, annually, we've brought together a new group of young people from across the country. We've gathered hundreds at this point. And what is so powerful when we bring these kids together is that they showcase the evidence of learner-centered education in who they are. They are kind, confident, grounded young people who aren't afraid to ask for help, who aren't afraid to tell you their brilliant ideas and what they're most curious about lately. They are able to take care of themselves, understand, you know, their wellness and how to engage. We're bringing kids together from really diverse contexts, and that can be overwhelming. But you see them manage that in really adult ways. So every time that we bring these kids together, it is a deep reminder of why this work matters. And they are such good articulators of the power of learner-centered, and they do so without all the jargon that I can sometimes bring into the game. So over time, one of the things that we've learned and how it's shaped our work is helping us get clearer, crisper, about what we say learner-centered is and breaking down some of the walls between where learner-centered happens. It's a common misconception that learner-centered education maybe is only in out-of-school or only in independent or private settings, but really it's happening all over the place. And when we bring kids together who are experiencing it in public districts, in micro schools, you can see that on display and they can learn that themselves.
This is Greg Baer, here with guest co-host Tyler Samstag, and we're talking with Demi Edwards, CEO and co-founder of Education Reimagined.
Demi, let's turn our attention to Education Reimagined's second bucket of work, the invention in action, where you work to turn learner-centered ecosystems into a public education reality. Can you start by sharing with our listeners your understanding of that phrase, learner-centered ecosystems? And how is your organization working to bring that vision into realities in communities all across the country?
Tyler, thank you for that question. And I know I'm in good company with others who are passionate about the possibility of learning ecosystems. For us, you know, I've talked about what learner-centered means, and ecosystems are taking that vision of learner-centered education one step further and asking, what if our public education system enabled this more human, connected, relationship-centered, community-grounded approach to learning? How would we reinvent our structures to do that? And if we look across our communities, schools, parks, libraries, museums, businesses, community centers are already ripe, robust places of learning. So how could we connect them to enable young people to navigate these myriad learning opportunities, learn from more folks, and build their skills and pathways in this more networked stance?
So, Demi, when you think about learning ecosystems, you and your team, you're learning about them every day. Can you share with us some of what your research has revealed so far about learning ecosystems and also the things you still hope to learn in ways that would be instructive to schools and communities and the people who have something to do with nurturing these great learning landscapes?
The learning has been incredibly rich, and there are so many places that are up to this work. I mean, you all are sitting in Pittsburgh, where Remake Learning is helping families and educators better know all of those learning opportunities. I could look at in Brooklyn, Runway Green is building a public-private partnership where a local charter school is working with New York City, DOE, National Park Service, local businesses to revitalize a former municipal airport field, Floyd Bennett Field, so that young people can pursue projects and create learning connected to the green economy. I can think of Colorado Springs School of Technology, where district business and local university have come together because they recognize that the influx of cybersecurity and tech jobs are not ready to be met by their local population. And so they're creating a zone of innovation in which a much more industry-connected, internship-centered, mentorship-based learning model can exist and inform districts around them. So I share these examples because what we're learning is that learning ecosystems emerge from all kinds of entry points, but that one of the first and most primary pieces of the work is building shared vision, bringing together the community leaders, whoever it might be, business, district, parents, higher education, community activists, and helping them to build a shared narrative together about what their learning ecosystem can address, can accomplish, and the transformation it can have for kids. Second, we're learning that partnerships are essential, and partnerships can be challenging. How do you communicate this possibility across these diverse sectors that have competing views? How do you build and sustain a partnership amongst uncommon allies? And yet, if we aren't able to build across silos, these learning ecosystems will remain isolated pockets versus really enabling structures. So those are some of the things that we've already been learning and discovering.
Demi, you've shared exemplars from all over the United States, which I really love to hear. And so I'm wondering if you can turn to policies. How might other folks replicate this in different states? And so can you help us just better understand what are the conditions and the policies needed for ecosystems in different states and different cities all around the United States for them to take root, to grow, and to flourish?
The question of policy is really an essential one. What we are noticing across the country is that policies already exist in many places and can be leveraged to create these learning ecosystems. Policy can also be a barrier. We're seeking to discover and uplift where this work can already go forward from a policy context and to highlight the places that do create persistent barriers to these ecosystem inventors, whether that's around seat time requirements or funding mechanisms, and offer up principles for how a more flexible, human, community-centered ecosystem could operate.
Demi, Education Reimagined has put forward a vision that's taking root. And the work that you've been helping to lead offers young people agency and belonging and purpose and the opportunity to thrive and flourish
And when we think about this work, we think about the people leading it. And so we want to ask a little bit about you, Demi, and what's driving you.
And so we want to close this conversation with a bit of a lightning round. Fun questions about you as you lead this work. First answers that come to mind. Are you ready to play a little bit of a lightning round?
I am. Thank you.
All right. You're learning a lot about learning itself, Demi. So what's the most surprising thing you've learned along the way about how people learn?
Maybe I'm not surprised, but the role that relationships have in how learning happens, it is worth repeating again and again and relearning again and again. And particularly in this age of, you know, conversations about AI and who are we talking to and who are we engaging with, it so matters who we're surrounded by, what models we have, and how these interactions shape who we see ourselves to be and how we think about the world.
And when we think about a younger Demi, can you think back to a relationship that you had, not with someone in your family, but rather maybe a neighbor or a teacher or a coach or a mentor, someone whose relationship to you meant something special and transformative?
I think of an art teacher that I had. She ran art classes in the community for adults and kids, Mrs. Robertson, and she created this incredible pocket of dynamic choice, passion, ability to try things out and fail and pick up again. And you would enter these rooms where there would be 20 plus people, all with different mediums of art, all pursuing different styles of art. And she would be flitting about between them, encouraging, nudging, giving guidance. And you would see over time the evolution of people's skill and talent evolve. And you barely notice she was instructing all of us and creating that space where it could happen, but it was so natural, joyful, and fun. I think back on that and I miss those days.
Mm. Big shout out to Mrs. Robertson. She sounds spectacular. Demi, I think you're the first podcast guest who went to the same high school I went to.
Yes.
So what is your favorite memory of being a Tiger?
Ooh, I wasn't expecting that question. I think of fifth grade at Bradford Woods Elementary. And it was a year that was full of community opportunities. We went camping. We created sweatshirts with snowmen on them. We created undersea experience in the gym. I think of that as being a year that was really celebratory and joyful as we journeyed on into sixth grade and went to middle school. And I think of the teachers who made that possible.
I love that. I also think about being a fifth grade Tiger. Our teachers, Miss Stupplebean, Miss Spitznagel, and Mr. Seifer looped with us from the fourth to fifth grade. And so in fifth grade, we held those relationships like the Mrs. Robertsons of the world. And it was combined with just joyful opportunity that fifth grade year because they knew us and they had worked together as a team and they created a canvas for us on which to paint. I love that answer. Demi, before we go, just one more question for you. What's one thing that parents and educators can do today to make tomorrow a more promising place for every learner?
Think back to yourself as a child, a teen. What is a question that you really wish someone had asked you or asked you more? And go find a child in your life and ask them that question and really listen to their answer.
Thanks again to Demi Edwards, CEO and co-founder of Education Reimagined. Remaking Tomorrow is powered by Remake Learning. Learn more at remakelearning.org.